Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:31. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, people in Donegal are being warned of potential severe weather in the coming hours, including potential thunderstorms and lightning strikes. The Taoiseach and Finance Minister has signalled the cuts to excise on petrol and diesel will be extended in some manner. A Buncrana councillor raises concerns about faded road markings in Inishowen and beyond. Higher education staff aren't receiving adequate sexual abuse and harassment training, according to the TUI, and the programme for this year McGill Summer School has been announced today. It runs from Thursday 23rd until Saturday the 25th of July. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news, and as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But we begin with Donegal County Council urging people in the county to stay safe this evening and overnight. There is a warning of potential thunderstorms that came into effect at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It ends at 6 o'clock tomorrow with potential flooding and lightning strikes. The council is urging people to avoid unnecessary driving if heavy rain begins and under no circumstances to drive through flood waters. Alan O'Reilly from Carlo Weather says the impending storms could bring a lot of hail.
There is already some thunderstorms on the west coast with some showers, but the risk of thunderstorms increases a lot tonight, through tonight and into tomorrow, Friday. And there's a risk of some severe thunderstorms, which would be very unusual for Ireland, especially in the northwest, where there's a risk of large hail, which can cause damage. So I shared a chart on my social media, which shows a risk of over 5 centimetres hail, which you would normally associate with like Italy and other parts of Europe. It would be very rare for us to see that.
And you can read that full Donegal County Council statement on our website, highlandradio.com. The Taoiseach and Finance Minister has signalled that cuts to excise on petrol and diesel will be extended in some manner. Simon Harris told the Dáil today a decision will be made in the coming days about how to handle the expiry date for cost of living supports. They ran out at the end of July. He clashed in the Dáil this afternoon with Donegal TD and Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty, who claimed the government will oversee increases in petrol and diesel prices by 27 and 32 cent respectively from August 1st if no action is taken. Well, the Taoiseach said he doesn't believe there'll be a cliff edge when it comes to fuel support. Deputy Doherty claimed there is no clarity and the government is wrong. Mr. Harris accused Deputy Doherty of just trying to rile people up.
There was amendments put down to defer this until budget day for consideration so that these increases wouldn't happen when the Dáil was on holidays. For example, that people would understand, because if you decide to increase petrol and diesel on the 1st of August, even to a certain, say you decide it's 20 cent it's going up, we don't know what's going to happen the week before and the Dáil isn't sitting. So the sensible thing to do was to accept what Sinn Féin has put forward, which is do not have these increases going up in the middle of the summer when the Dáil isn't even sitting, defer it. I put that amendment down, you voted against it, Labour Party Soc Dem supported you in voting against it. I think it was wrong. It was absolutely wrong. And I'm asking for a commitment now that you will give a commitment that we will not see price increases in the middle of the summer.
We're very clear. We're going to take decisions, Deputy Doherty. So you've been doing a great job of riling everybody up, worrying everybody, trying to encourage this protest again, get them all going again. Angry Piers isn't going to work anymore. We're going to take a rounded, informed decision based on the evidence available to us as to what the most appropriate thing is. And I don't know whether you're like heading off for a long summer. I'm around if there's a need to respond to anything during the summer situation.
Is the Dáil going to sit?
Don't you worry.
Is the Dáil sitting in the 1st of August?
The government has an ability to respond. And you know.
Maybe you clarify. Is the Dáil now going to sit in the... Is this the government announcing that the Dáil is going to be sitting in the 1st of August to respond? Is that what you're going to say?
What I'm announcing is the days of you coming into this house and trying to shout people down and bullying people are over. No, I'm speaking and you stand up and you interrupt me. The situation is very clear, and let the people at home who are worried about the bills know that there's plenty of time before this Dáil goes into recess to make informed, evidence-based decisions.
And that was Taoiseach and Finance Minister Simon Harris and Deputy Piers Doherty in the Dáil earlier today. The Lasca Hirlic of Inishowen Municipal District is urging people who notice faded road markings to report them. Councillor Fionnán Bradley says he recently identified a number of key junctions where stop markings have become worn and difficult to see. He says markings that require attention can be added to the council's road lining programme, but they must be reported. Councillor Bradley says this is an important health and safety issue.
It's not just a Buncrana issue. There does seem to be a problem. And look, I mean, I suppose it's easy enough that sometimes these things can be missed and overlooked unless you actually happen to notice it yourself. and raise it. We all tend to leave these things to somebody else quite often. But that's why, I, just from a health and safety point of view, I was very worried about that. And I really, really would encourage anybody that has any stop sign that's faded or worn anywhere to make sure that they notify myself, and I will very happily pass it on to the roads team.
Higher education staff aren't receiving adequate sexual abuse and harassment training, according to the Teachers Union of Ireland. The Rockfliss Higher Education Committee has been told a full review is needed into how colleges and universities are dealing with allegations of abuse. A universal reporting policy and training programme has been recommended in order to minimise confusion and encourage alleged victims to come forward. Well, the TUI's Donegal-based Assistant General Secretary Joanne Irwin says staff training on what to do if a student discloses abuse to them is very much needed.
If a student comes to you and says something and you don't know how to react, like, no teacher or academic wants to be in that position. Particularly, you don't want to, you know, further traumatise them because of something that you say straight away that might prevent them from going further. So I think training is absolutely key. And I think that the committee should certainly consider a recommendation about increasing funding to the counselling support services.
The programme for this year's McGill Summer School has been announced. It's the 46th year of the event, which takes place in Glenties from Thursday 23rd to Saturday 25th of July. Director Vincent McCarthy says as Ireland assumes the presidency of the European Union, the McGill Summer School 2026 will bring together some of the leading voices in politics, economics, diplomacy and public affairs to explore how Ireland and Europe can navigate an increasingly uncertain world. With more, here's Eamon Torsney.
Dr. Mike Ryan, former Executive Director of the World Health Organization, will deliver the prestigious John Hume Lecture, while European Central Bank Chief Economist Philip Lane will take part in a special one-on-one interview examining the outlook for the global economy. Now a three-day event, this year's summer school will explore the theme of the New World Disorder and examine how Ireland, Europe and the wider international community should respond to an era of geopolitical instability, economic uncertainty, conflict and rapid technological change. This year's programme will bring together leading political, economic and strategic voices to discuss Europe's security, Ireland's economic future, infrastructure delivery, organised crime, the future of Irish foreign policy and the implications of the 2026 US midterm elections.
And again, there are more details on our website and also a link to the full schedule and registration details. Revenue is warning consumers that products they buy now could be subject to new customs charges if they're not delivered until next week. From the 1st of July, online items bought from outside of the European Union will face a €3 fee if valued at under €150. The charge applies per item, with costs potentially adding up. Revenue's head of customs, Ray Ryan, says buyers need to be aware of the changes. And he's warning if any goods are returned, the charge won't be refunded.
Another aspect in relation to this change is that from the 1st of July, there's a change in relation to how refunds are handled. So refunds will not apply to these goods. So if you pay the customs duty on the €3, the refunds will not be applied for anything that's returned. If you buy the T-shirt, the sunglasses and the hat, and you return one of them, the €9 is to be charged and there's no refund available for that.
Now, goods coming in from Great Britain are included in the charge, but Ray Ryan is stressing the trade with Northern Ireland will not change.
No impact on the all-island trade as a result of the removal of this customs threshold and application to €3. There is a facilitation under the winter framework called the UK Carrier Scheme, and that's where all these kind of movements happen. If anything moves outside of that, so in essence, if you're under UK Carrier Scheme, it's to a Northern Irish residential address. Anything kind of moving through Northern Ireland onwards to Ireland or the EU would be subject to the €3.
A Midlands North West MEP says a Wicklow-based project aimed at delaying smartphone access until secondary school could make a very real difference for children and parents in Donegal. In Brussels this week, Nina Carberry hosted representatives of It Takes a Village, which starts from the premise that legislation isn't enough and it brings an entire local community together, with everyone agreeing to delay smartphone rollout until at least the beginning of secondary school. She says it means no child or parent feels that they're standing alone, and this is a model that can be used elsewhere.
Schools, parents and communities are coming together to support a shared delay in smartphone access until secondary school. So I do think it would help Donegal absolutely, with 34,000 children living in Donegal, and I think it's a conversation we need to have. Laws and regulations are very, very important, and here in Brussels we're working on stronger age checks and better regulation of social media platforms to make them more accountable. But legislation alone will not protect children.
And the Ulster History Circle has unveiled a plaque to Strabane native John Dunlap, the man who printed the US Declaration of Independence. The plaque was placed on Grace Printing Press later in his life. John Dunlap fought in the war alongside George Washington and founded the Pennsylvania Packet, which went on to be the first successful daily newspaper within the US. Seamus McKee of the Ulster History Circle says Dunlap had a considerable impact on the American independence effort.
On the day, the 4th of July, that document was agreed, they summoned John Dunlap and said, right, here's the fair copy, get to work. He starts putting down the letters, setting up the print. It's nighttime, he's under pressure, they're in danger. This was a seditious document. They were rebels. And so he, as printer, was in as much danger as any of the people who signed it. So that in itself, so he gets it printed, and I think about 200 copies, the Dunlap broadsides they're called, about 200 copies initially. These are distributed throughout the 13 states, the former colonies, if you like, and they were still colonies, and read out, including by Washington, who reads it to the troops, or has it read to the troops just a few days later. And he goes on to see active service in the War of Independence, the Revolutionary War. He was George Washington's bodyguard. He was a member of George Washington's bodyguard. He's believed to have fought alongside the Continental Army at the battles of Trenton and Princeton, the key battles. And he was an officer in the 1st Troop Pennsylvania City Cavalry.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Dono. Good evening. We'll start with horse racing. Oshinor has taken his fourth winner in 3 days as he's come home first on board Carulus at Newcastle this afternoon. The Donegal jockey rode the 5-2 John Butler trained horse to victory in the 2:37 Novice Stakes. Today's winner follows on from Oshin's 20-1 double at Carlisle yesterday and his win at Beverley on Tuesday. In motorsport, they're just getting underway at Rally Acropolis in the latest event in the World Rally Championship. Belgian Thierry Neuville has gone quickest through shakedown, with Sebastian Ogier second fastest and Adrian Formo third. Takamoto Katsuda, with Oma's Aaron Johnson on the notes, were fifth during shakedown, while Derry driver Josh McAleen was eighth, and the Fermanagh Donegal duo of John Armstrong and Shane Byrne were 11th. Special Stage 1 is underway this evening in Greece, and that rally continues over the weekend. Formula One drivers could use cooling kits to cope with the European heatwave this weekend. A heat hazard has been declared by the FIA ahead of the Austrian Grand Prix. The cooling procedures are not mandatory, and drivers who decide to use them will also carry an additional 5 kg in their car. Moving on to soccer, Shelburne have sacked head coach Joey O'Brien after a year in charge of the club. O'Brien replaced Damien Duff after he left Tilke Park last summer, but they are currently fifth in the table and lost 3-0 to rivals Bohemians on Monday night. Under-20s boss Lorcan Fitzgerald has been appointed interim head coach until the process to appoint a permanent replacement is concluded. Sweden named to bounce back at the World Cup later and book a place in the last 32. A top two finish in Group F is at stake when they take on Japan in Dallas tonight. Graham Potter's side chase a quick response to their heavy 5-1 defeat last time out against the Netherlands. Potter knows his team face another tough test though.
Somebody just told me that I don't think they've lost to a European team for 8 years. I'm super impressed with Japan, how they are as a team. You can see they've been together a long time and have got a real understanding of what they're trying to do. For us, we have to make sure that we can use the qualities that we have.
That game kicks off at midnight along with the other Group F clash between Tunisia and the Netherlands. Germany are among the teams aiming to top their World Cup group tonight. Julian Nagelsmann's side take on Ecuador in Group E, knowing anything other than a heavy loss will see them remain at the top. Ivory Coast take on Curaçao in the other game in that group, with both games underway from 9 o'clock. At 3 a.m, co-host USA are up against Turkey, while Paraguay take on Australia. Derek McInnes says he belongs at Rangers after being unveiled as the club's new manager. The 54-year-old has insisted the time was right for him to make the move to Ibrox after nearly getting Hearts to the Scottish Premiership title last season. McInnes has promised to produce a side that plays attacking and exciting football.
I don't want teams to come here and feel comfortable and play their way into the game. We've got to make teams really struggle when they play against us. We've got to make them suffer. We've got good players currently, and we're going to bring good players. So the quality that Jim talks about, you have to have quality to be a Rangers player.
West Ham head to Burnley on the opening weekend of the Championship season. The relegated Premier League duo will clash at Turf Moor on the 16th of August. Wolves will get their new campaign underway the night before against Blackburn Rovers, while Cardiff and Wrexham will go head-to-head in an all-Welsh derby on Monday the 17th of August. League One champions Lincoln face a trip to Middlesbrough first up. In golf, Shane Lowry is the only Irish golfer in the field at this year's Travellers Championship. He teed off at 2:15 today, and a short time ago he was 1 under par midway through the back nine. Lowry has gone back to working with former caddy Dermot Byrne for this event. He's described the switch as a short-term arrangement following his split with Darren Reynolds after last week's US Open, in which Lowry failed to make the cut. Finally for now, coming up on The Score this evening, Keith Cowan will join us for our weekly League of Ireland chat ahead of this weekend's games for Finn Harps and Derry City. We'll also hear from inside the Derry City camp ahead of their return to the Ryan McBride Brandywell tomorrow night. We'll speak with new Swilly Rovers manager Columba O'Donnell as the club aim to make a resurgence under a new management setup next season. Plus, Tug of War Ireland chairperson and president Martin Egan talks about ambitions to get the sport back to the Olympic Games in 2032. I'll be back with all of that on The Score between 7 and 8 this evening. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Well, it is a Thursday, it's 10 to 6, and that means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by KNF Superwools Kilmacrennan, paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.
Hello and welcome along to Farming News and Views with me, Chris Ashmore. Later, I'll hear from Chagas cattle specialist David Argue about Beef 2026, Chagas' National Beef Open Day event. But first, the 34th annual Finn Valley Agricultural Show takes place this Saturday at Russell Brothers Farm in Killigordon. Jeffrey Hindman is one of those on the organising committee, and he's been telling me more about the event.
There's a lot of organising done, a lot of time spent on sheep pens and different classes to organise, and there's a lot of machinery and stuff as well, so it'll be all made space for it and get them in. So we're expected over 900 sheep, and cattle classes is up as well. There's some of the cattle classes there. There's 24 in the, one of the calf classes, and there's chat about 18 or 19 in the breeding heifer class. There are other poultry, 180 poultry coming as well. So
it shows just why it's so popular. It's been going for so many years. It goes from strength to strength. Significant prize fund as well, something in the region of €28,000. So ticks a lot of boxes. People are coming to take part. There's the competitive side of it. And there's also, it's very much a family day out.
Aye, it is very much. There's something for everybody. Like there's amusement for children and things like that as well. And it is for the family. And I suppose in Donegal, it's probably some of the first of the shows in the summer. And people like to get out to see what's out there and what they're showing against. The sheepdog trials is very popular. It's at the, you come down through the show field, it's on the bottom field. And the dogs is all on there. You'll see them. The sheep is penned and they do the trials. You can kind of look down even from the show field and watch them there. So that's a popular event as well on the day. Very nice to see it. Some excellent dogs and some excellent handlers as well.
And another popular item on the during the show is the pet section. Keen interest in that?
Pets, aye. There's always an interest in pets. We have guinea pigs and there's classes there for budgies and rabbits and different things. So there's always different classes, and there's a donkey going to be here. So you guess the weight of the donkey and get a prize for that. That's always a popular game as well, so it's very hard to guess the weight of a donkey.
Now, worth mentioning, there'll be machinery displays throughout the day as well.
There'll be a lot of machinery displays. There are different people coming on tractors and trailers. And
numbers overall, do they look like being up?
Aye, the numbers are definitely up this year. They're definitely up, and it's good to see it. It's nice to see the interest still there.
Tell us a little bit about the location itself, Russell Brothers Farm in Killigordon. I take it there'll be signposts for those who don't know how to get there?
Aye, it'll be signposted, and on the signpost there's an air code on it as well. Well, you can go the northern route and you can go over Drennan Bridge and come down that way, or you can come onto Killigordon and turn right over to the cross and come up that way.
And finally, Geoffrey, no doubt a big thanks to all your sponsors and indeed to all the organising committee, because an event like this takes a lot of hard work, and you do need that helping hand from sponsors to bring it all together.
The sponsors, a big thank you to the sponsors and everybody that helps and involved, and especially Russell Brothers for the show field and Dolan Brothers for the parking field.
And that was Geoffrey Hindman, one of the committee members for the Finn Valley Agricultural Show on this coming Saturday. By the way, the air code for the Russell Brothers Farm in Killygordon, where it's taking place, it's F93WV66. That's F93WV66. Well, from one big event to another. Beef 2026 is on next Wednesday, that's July the 1st, down in Grange in County Meath. It's from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. David Argue is cattle specialist with Chagas. Delighted to say that he's on the line to tell me more about Beef 2026, which is Chagas' National Beef Open Day. What can farmers expect this year, David?
Hi, Chris. Look, thanks very much for having me on this evening. As you said, yes, look, this is Chagas' National Beef Open Day. It only happens every 2 years, and it's on next Wednesday, the 1st of July. This year, we've got a great line-up in store, so we're going to be looking at a lot of different villages, we'll say. So we'll start off first on the morning, we'll say. We're going to get a good overview of the beef production systems that we look at within Chagas. So we'll be looking at our dairy calf-to-beef systems, our suckling-to-beef systems, and our breeding operations. So that will be what we'll see first whenever we arrive on the day. Then we'll say whenever people have gone through that the main opening stand, there will be, you know, there'll be different villages again where we can discuss in more detail the main topics on the day. So the likes of our finishing villages, our breeding villages, our dairy calf to beef villages, and our finishing villages. But there'll be plenty of other stops as well on the day. There'll be lots of information to be spoke about in terms of meat eating quality. Organics will be there on the day. There'll be plenty of discussion around forestry, education, and of course, look, there'll be quite a huge emphasis put on health and safety. That's always one of the main factors we'll have to take into consideration with any farming system.
And there'll be a number of key themes, including a focus on profitability and efficiency.
Yes, profitability and efficiency is our main theme we're looking at this year. Research from Chagas, you know, along with all of our program farms. So we'll say our farmers that take part in our Dairy Beef 500 program and our farmers that are involved in our Future Beef program, you know, data from those farms would show that not always the most, you know, biggest farms are the most profitable, by no means. You know, with the guys that are running more efficiently, you know, they may have smaller farming setups, but if they're being run more efficiently, they have the potential to generate a much better profit to have. So we'll be discussing, we'll say from an efficiency point of view, what KPIs matter in both dairy calf to beef systems and in suckling systems. So example, our kilos of output per hectare, our grass utilization, keeping a good handle on our costs. And then from a cattle breeding point of view, you know, focus on how we can maintain a tight calving interval, increasing our calves per cow per year, focus on two-year-old calves and so on. So there's lots of information there.
And tell me, what about suckler farmers? Will there be something for them as well?
Absolutely. Look, there'll be lots of discussions to have around suckler farmers, to have for suckler farmers. There'll be quite a bit of research delivered on the day from the Dairy Patrick herd and again from the maternal research herd that's operating currently in Grange. There'll be good demonstrations and displays demonstrating, we'll say, the area around synchronization, improving calving performance, herd health, and again, the whole area around management of cows and calves, we'll say, from birth to weaning and further on. So look at any, no matter what farming system farmers are in, let it be a cow-calf system, a finishing system, a calf-to-beef system, or whatever the case may be, there will be somebody there for everyone on the day. So,
and I suppose another big appeal of the whole event is the fact that you can have conversations with all sorts of experts there. There'll be Chagas representatives, and it's a networking event as well.
Absolutely. Look, you know, there'll be Chagas representatives, so advisors, specialists, researchers, There'll also be quite a number of our programme farmers available to speak to on the day. So, farmers from any part of the country will have the opportunity to speak and hear what's going on different parts of the country through the likes of those advisors and researchers and the demonstration farmers. So lots of opportunity to speak with different people and speak with research to see exactly what is going on.
And just give us the details again, the time, the place, the air code.
Yeah, so look, at it's next Wednesday, the 1st of July, in Chagas Grange, County Meath. The air code is C15PW93. We kick off at 9 o'clock in the morning and it will run to about 4 o'clock. And the displays of the demonstrations will be running continuously all day. Nobody has to book in. It's just a matter of turn up on the day. And anyone that wants to find out any further information, Chris, they can look at the Chagas website or get in touch with their local Chagas office and they'll point them in the right direction.
That was David Argue, cattle specialist with Chagas, and always big Donegal interest in that event. Well, that's it for Farming News and Views for this week. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by KNF Superwool's Kilmacrenan, paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.
Weather forecast: warm and humid this evening with long spells of sunshine and light or moderate east to southeast winds. Mostly dry with a chance of some thunderstorms developing in torrential downpours with hail, frequent lightning and gusty winds all possible if and when those occur. A mix of cloud and clear spells tonight with showers or thunderstorms possible, bringing a chance of localised flooding. Light, occasionally moderate northerly winds becoming gusty in any thunderstorms. High lows overnight 13 to 15 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow Friday, warm and humid with sunny spells and showers. Some of the showers heavy and thundery, merging to longer spells of rain at times with localised flooding possible. Light to moderate northerly or variable winds will become southerly in the evening. Top temperatures 21 to 24 degrees Celsius. Main stories in brief: people in Donegal are being warned of severe weather in the next number of hours, including potential flooding and lightning strikes. The yellow weather warning for thunderstorms came into effect at 3 this afternoon. It ends at 6 tomorrow. The Taoiseach and Finance Minister has signalled cuts to excise on petrol and diesel may be extended in some manner in the coming weeks. The Lasca Hairlock of the Inishowen Municipal District is urging people who notice faded road markings to report them. And the programme for this year's McGill Summer School has been announced. Full details on all of those stories and the rest of today's news on highlandradio.com. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday, the 25th of June. The death has taken place in Holland of John O'Donnell, for Oris Regia, Derry Beg, formerly of Church Hill. His remains will repose at Rorty's funeral home, Derry Beg, on Sunday from 2 p.m. until Rosary at 8 p.m. Funeral Mass on Monday morning at 11 in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluey, with burial afterwards in Temple Douglas Graveyard, Church Hill. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page or via MCN Media. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has taken place in Florida of Donald Breslin, Bunbeg, Gwydor. His remains will repose at Rorty's funeral home, Derry Beg, tomorrow from 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. and on Saturday from 1 p.m. until 8 p.m. Rosary tomorrow at 9 and on Saturday night at 8. Removal to the family home after the rosary on Saturday night. House private, please, to family only. Donald's funeral mass will take place on Sunday afternoon at 1:30 in St. Columkill's Church, Knockfulla, with burial afterwards in Maharigallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page or via MCN Media. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Gerald Ferry, Hertfordshire and Clunery, Boardwalk, Carrigart. His remains will repose at his late residence in Clunery until 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 1 o'clock until 10 o'clock. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, on Saturday at 11. Burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on MCN Media. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 1 p.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family Flowers only pleased donations in lieu of desire to Gamblers Anonymous, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. And the death has occurred of Hannah Dlacken, née Boyle, Goland, Ballybuffet, reposing at her late residence today until 9 p.m, concluding with rosary. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Sessha O'Neill, Ballybuffet. It'll be streamed live via the parish YouTube channel, followed by a private family-only cremation. Family time, please, before the funeral. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director, and cremation services. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.